introductions, and then we'll move to adopting the minutes. Max?
Max Halperin.
Fawn Bortleson.
Kathy Bonifield.
Gary Closer.
David Maeda.
Mark Ritchie.
Beth Fraser.
Carolyn Pino.
So, on the question of actually voting on adopting the minutes, I think we'll wait. We need at least one more, and we know they'll be coming. So, we will move that item down to the bottom of the agenda, or whenever it's appropriate to do that. And we'll move to discussion and adoption of the draft task force report. Oh, hello, welcome.
Thank you. Sorry.
And with the caveat that there's a fiscal note part to some of the expense elements that has to be added, just so that we know that. So I just want to open it up for comments and suggestions and thank all of you who
adopt the minutes.
Not till we get at least one more person.
So we have that
quorum here. So. Several of you provided very important comments and suggestions on the earlier drafts. They've been incorporated. So we want to just kind of take this from the front to the back and take comments, suggestions, make sure we've got it as close as we can, and then move this process into the hands of the legislature. So, Max.
Mr. Chair, there are two comments I have. One is a big picture one. One is a very small one. The small one, I think, would be best done in the form of a motion once we have a quorum. But the big picture one is just to remark that it was only when I saw it in this fleshed out form that I realized something that was already true when we looked at the draft recommendations at our previous meeting, which is that we've provided a regulatory framework for electronic rosters in general election 2014 only, that we regulate not only the study participants but also other precincts' use of electronic rosters that one election. And then if the legislature were to go no further than our recommendations, we would revert back to the status quo ante of totally unregulated electronic rosters. And it might be, you know, I can see the point in that the study itself may provide information on what an appropriate, more permanent statutory regulation should be, but it might be an interesting alternative for the legislature to consider to put these same ones into statute as a baseline, subject to later amendment if the study proves that appropriate. But so that there was something going forward beyond 2014. I think that would require fairly major surgery if we wanted to incorporate that into our recommendation, into our draft legislation, and it might be hard for us to do at this late date. But I guess I, at least as one individual, would state my hope that the legislature would do that, would.
So, Max, let me ask you a question. What about having a statement in the task force report, not necessarily messing with the legislation itself, but saying that, noting that this applies to the 14 framework and that the legislature in their consideration has the option of putting it in as a baseline or has an option of returning to this after the study is completed. And, we put it in as a statement more than we try to do surgery on the legislative language at the moment.
If you would view that as feasible, I think that would be lovely.
Let's hear from others with this question. Hello, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Max, I came in late, and I really liked what you were saying, the last half of it. So if you wouldn't mind, what I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this language confines itself to executing the study, and what you're suggesting is that we have the legislation actually put in law the process of electronic roster implementation and then use the upcoming time period to do the study. Is that what I heard you saying?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonifield, that's close. because we actually do more than just the study, or more than the study and the build or buy analysis. The recommended language would also restrict non-study participant jurisdictions in 2014, that they would have to certify to the Secretary of State compliance with the same restrictions. But so far as I can see it, as the recommendation stands, that would just be a one-time thing for that one election and not thereafter.
So the kind of general idea was to say out loud to the legislature in the sort of language of the report, hey, this is for this coming. You have some options. You can make it permanent and come back and return to it and change it, or you can wait till the study and then readdress it in the following legislative session. But not try to do surgery today on the ledge language.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would actually concur with Max, and I think we have plenty of time to rework ledge language. We don't even start, the legislature until February 25th, so I'd rather do something that reflects the broader approach, and I think that's an excellent approach, because one of the concerns I had when I read it was it seemed almost like afterthoughtish at the end to say they could say, certify, and it didn't sound very robust in that way. So I would agree.
So let me see if there's a consensus of an ad along these lines. I'm seeing nodding heads, because we can proceed. Max also had another specific point, but we can proceed with a consensus here and add language along these lines, and maybe I'd work with you directly, just get it in. Does that make sense? So when we move to a vote, we're understanding that we have a consensus to add language that alerts the legislature to the fact that this applies to the 14, and therefore it's up to the legislature to think about how does it want to take that ahead.
Mr. Chair, I didn't hear that's what Max was saying. I heard him saying that the legislation actually would put in place that it applies going forward and the study would happen.
That would be my preference. Obviously, it's to the legislature to decide how it wishes to act.
Right. So I don't
see... Easy to say. Easy to do.
Yeah. And, Mr. Chair, I don't think we should vote on legislation without reading it, so... We could certainly just have it sent around and do some kind of a call if you didn't want to meet, but I don't think it would be appropriate.
Yeah, I think the proposal is not about making changes on the legislation, but just a line in the report. And am I reflecting this?
That was my understanding, that we would note the deficiency in the draft legislation and suggest to the legislature that rather than just adopting it in its current form, it improve it.
Correct. So that was the proposal.
Mr. Chair, I wouldn't support that. I would want us as a group to come back to take our best shot at the legislation so that when we give it, it's a product that we say this is how we'd like. And not just, Mr. Chair, the report is due, but not the legislation. It doesn't say in the report that on this date you should give suggested legislation. It just says a report. So we could certainly...
We can separate the two and do the report with noting this. Mm-hmm. And then I think Max is right. It will be surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then circulate that.
Yep.
Get people's reactions. And then kind of forward that. This is an additional document from the test. Something to that effect. Because our report will have been filed, have been submitted.
Mr. Chair, I don't think I have the complete statute that was given here, but I seem to recall there was something in the law that said the task force ended once we submitted our report. Mm. It seems that was in my mind, but I don't have that.
That would
in front
be normal.
Me, so I'm just kind of questioning whether we will be able to do anything once the report is submitted. Just questioning that.
Yeah. But I feel like we can circulate language that reflects this consensus, and people can comment, yes, we support that, and we can send it ahead.
And my comment on that, Ms. Chair, would be that some of us here might be carrying that legislation, and we'd like to know that we did it right.
Yeah.
So it could become informal at that point, but at least
yes,
it would be
communicated. And people are basically nodding and saying, we will continue to do a little bit of work, which is reading carefully commenting on and getting it right and then forwarding it, as you said, on a kind of informal basis. But then becomes, you know, it becomes yours at that point.
Mr. Chair, no, I'm not going to support that. I would ask, even if we have to say that we're going to submit a few days, you know, a few days late. I've just been alerted by another task force that they didn't have consensus and asked for a few days. I'd like our group to have our final product be something that we all say, this is it, and we agree. And then the legislature obviously can accept and reject. That's their purview.
But it's sort of my responsibility to complete the task force on time. Having chaired a lot of task force, if you don't, you get just a ton of bad headlines for no good reason. Okay. So I'm Max, this is your point. So
yeah, I'll just informationally say I pulled up the actual law, and it does say that the draft legislation is part of the report. The report shall include draft legislation to implement the recommendations. So if the report is due, then the draft legislation is due.
So, Mr. Chair,
yep.
Perhaps counsel could work with us quickly to make the changes.
So this would require somebody doing the work. Thank you. So, Max, you had another sub-point.
Mr. Chair, with apologies for having dragged us into such a difficult thing, I'll do what I hope is an easier one. So in Subdivision 9, which is the use of electronic rosters in non-participating municipalities.
Excuse me, are we working off the new draft or the one that's attached to the report, just so we're all working off the same document?
I would suggest the new one, but the two are identical in particular regard at hand. The concluding portion of that, that the electronic rosters meet all of the requirements in Subdivision 3, I would move be replaced by that the electronic rosters meet, comma, and their use will meet, comma, all of the requirements in Subdivisions 3 through 6.
Could you repeat that?
Yes. That the electronic rosters meet, comma, and their use will meet, comma, all of the requirements in Subdivisions 3 through 6.
Any questions to Max on this?
Question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Max, when I read it, the other thing I wondered, and it may not be necessary, is do we also... The way this is written, does it also instruct the Secretary of State's office to deliver the files in the same manner as they're delivering to the participants in the study? Does that need to be spelled out, or is that something that already is within this document? Or, Mr. Chair, if you have the answer to that question.
I mean, the files will come to anyone using poll books the same.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, yeah. And Senator Bonoff, I think Subdivision 3, when it's referring back to Subdivision 3, is the part saying being able to be loaded with data files.
Okay.
And so I think that is all contained within Subdivision 3.
Thanks.
Other questions on this?
Mr. Chair, I noticed that the study and the empirical evaluation are both funded or suggested.
Can I stop you for one moment?
Sure.
I'd like to take a motion and a vote on this particular change to complete that on Max's change, and then come back to you.
I move.
Yeah. So we now have a quorum. We're moving into that part of the meeting.
In the motion.
Max made the motion. There's a second. Any other discussion on the motion to amend? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Back to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I do notice under the appropriation in section 2 that the study and the empirical evaluation are both funded, but I do not see a suggestion that appropriation be made for the build-by analysis.
Make a motion.
Yes, I moved that the appropriation include the funding of a build or by analysis for the Secretary of State's office, Minute, and the Minnesota Association of County Officers and League of Minnesota Cities.
Do I hear a second for the motion?
I'll second.
Thank you. Is everyone clear on that part? Making sure that this is noted here. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Good eye, good catch. Others? Please.
Yeah, I have a question on the language that was added to Subdivision 6. The printed voter signature certificate must be used when determining the proper number of ballots to be counted. I think there may be certain situations where you're putting yourself in a box that way. The only time that the number of ballots would be affected is if the number of ballots was larger than the count of the signatures. If it happened to be where the signatures were less than the machine showed, and the machine matched what was on the ballot, you'd be required to remove one of the ballots from the thing. I'm not sure that that would be what we were really looking at. It's most likely administrative error if there's a signature that didn't get written on. So somebody's ballot's going to get thrown away with that language enforced that way.
Do you have a suggestion of what could meet the intent but also not create this problem? Or does anyone else, those of you that are scratching your heads on this?
Mr. Chair, when I read that in conjunction with his comment, what the election judges do in the polls is they have to reconcile that the signatures match the total count. And then there are procedures on how to balance that if they're off. And I do believe what this is probably referring to is that this particular section states they may use the signatures in determining for reconciliation purposes, they may use this.
If they may, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if they're required to do that and only use that and not look at the count that's on the actual machine itself.
So the proposal is to substitute may for must.
For reconciliation.
So may be used when determining the proper number of ballots to be counted for reconciliation. So it would be the two, the change of word and for reconciliation added. Questions about that suggested? Next.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think if we were to change it to may, the sentence would lose any effect because 204C20 already says that you can count voter certificates or the names in the the registration file. And so that permissory language is already there without our saying anything. My intent when I had suggested this was that if there is some dispute between the electronic record and the paper record, that the paper record was the definitive one.
The Trump.
And
right.
And the reason why I made that suggestion is because we really don't have a certification process for the electronic rosters. There's no particular reason we have to trust those, whereas we do have eyes on the paper.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Halperin, can't quote because I don't recall, but I do believe it does state that the reconciliation can be used. We can also use the voter receipts. So you're blurring the options in which perhaps reconciliation occurs.
Mr. Chair, if I may, in having had some discussions with Mr. Halperin, I think the point that Max was trying to get at was that he didn't particularly trust that you could just take the number of signatures from the poll book itself. And so, you know, the rest of the reconciliation, I think, mm-hmm. all happens anyway, and the whole ballot piece still all happens. I think what he was trying to say was that you can't just take the number from poll book. He wanted you to make sure that you counted the receipts. And part of that, I think, was saying, you know, if what we're allowing here is you can have that sheet of paper with the oath and you're putting the labels on and everybody's signing on there, you would have like a standard of, you know, 12 per page or whatever it might be, or they could even be numbered if they would be numbered, and so that you would take that number rather than just relying on the number that the machine at the end of the day said, I have this many signatures. I think that's what I understand as being the crux of the issue.
I understand it, but if the numbers happen to, if the number that's on the poll book matches the number of receipts and matches the number of ballots that were counted, and for some reason someone didn't get a signature and the signature is one short, with the language that's in here, I would suspect that you would need to remove one ballot out of the count, and I don't think that's right.
Mr. Chair, I'll say that the signature per se is not relevant because it says the printed voter's signature certificates. It doesn't say the printed and signed voter's signature certificates or something. The signature certificate is the form that's printed. And there's no requirement here that it be signed.
Well, so this would create some confusion unless we are very, very, very clear, right? Mm-hmm. Right now we're really into, you know, something that at the polling place in White Bear Township or wherever, somebody might face this situation. So we need to be precise, I think, here. Is there a suggestion for how to get to not claiming that the electronic rosters are the most accurate because they're not certified, but also not creating potential confusion about what you would do if there was a discrepancy, you know, in terms of not pulling the ballot? Yeah.
My recommendation would be to leave it as it's in this draft, but ask that the legislature also look at the broader question of ballot reconciliation, that rather than demanding election judges move straight ahead to randomly withdrawing ballots in the face of a discrepancy, there be some slower, more judicious process for more comprehensively figuring out what the right response to that situation is. I think it's a bigger problem. I think it already existed without electronic rosters, and the reconciliation problem should be addressed, but I don't think it's particular to this. The fact that there are these printed voter certificates that are being counted is just like currently we count paper. I mean, that's how we do reconciliation.
Well, let's kind of focus us on to getting some agreement here. Yeah.
As I'm learning, as I listen, and barely understanding, so I might be wrong, but the printed voter signature certificates, when we started talking about it, the word signature is what was coming to the top, and now what we seem to be talking about is the receipts, but we don't call them receipts. Could it say the printed voter's certificates? And then you're counting those certificates, but those receipts, but you're not necessarily lining up signatures. But this is my bare understanding. So,
and Mr. Chair, yeah, if I might kind of respond to that. I mean, I think the voter certificate here is just replacing the signature in the roster. And so there still is a separate receipt. Once this voter certificate is here, there still will be a receipt that's issued to get the ballot because you need to take something over to get the ballot. And this certificate's going to stay with the roster judge, so to speak. So, I mean, I think even in response to Mr. Bodelson's concern, you know, part of that whole reconciliation piece at the end of the night, even if you're using the paper rosters with the signatures, if those don't come out, you always have that option of going mm-hmm. to counting the receipts, and if the receipts match, you still are able to say that you're reconciled. And I think that's going to stay the same regardless if we're using the electronic rosters. And we're saying here that instead of just taking the number from the machine, you're taking the certificate signatures. But if that doesn't match, the rules still apply that you can count the receipts, which still allow you to balance and reconcile.
Perhaps we can compromise, and I don't have specific verbiage,
but
you have to come up with specific verbiage.
Well, where I'm going, the point I'm trying to make is if we, because this can be interpreted so many different ways, if we craft it so that the electronic poll book reconciliation is consistent with the procedures for paper poll books, then we do not have to worry about inconsistency or misunderstanding, and at the time policymakers choose to address the reconciliation piece, this would overcome that and would become consistent with it.
Mr. Chair, I think that we could potentially do this by striking the last sentence here and saying something like, ballots must be reconciled in accordance with, and then just cite the other statute that allows for either signatures or receipts to be counted. So it's just making clear that we're using the same standard as we do in other polls.
Mr. Chair, my problem with Ms. Fraser's suggestion is that the current language, which speaks of the number of names entered in the registration file or something like that, I think could be interpreted as you can just look at the screen on the computer and it'll tell you how many you entered, and I don't want to allow for that possibility with an uncertified system.
Yes, I think we're at a nub of a concern. So Ms. Fraser's going to pull the language down, but I think that there's a general concern that with uncertified equipment, you don't want to just take what the screen pops up for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But how do we say this to not cause confusion this year when it's already, you know, it's going to be fairly new to quite a few people who are in the polling place trying to do some heavy there'll be a heavy turnout, and so we want to make this, if we can, as clear as possible.
Yeah. I think I've beat her to the draw here. So it's adding the number of return envelopes from accepted absentee ballots to the number of signed voter certificates or to the number of names entered in the election register. That's that second part that concerns me.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that I think we know where we want to go. I will look at the language, and maybe we can move on to another subject to come back to this.
Agreed?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Great. We'll come back to it. More points, more subjects, more changes. Go.
Mr. Chair, this would be looking at my old one. So it was number 10. Oh, it's not that way on this one. So perhaps it's not even in the new one. I'm talking about contain only pre-registered voters within the precinct and not contain pre-registered voter data on voters registered outside of the precinct. Is that still in this draft?
Yes, it is. And it's in subdivision 310.
Page 2, lines 20, 21.
Okay. And has anyone talked about that yet?
Not yet.
Okay. And so, Mr. Chair and David, I would ask you a question because I liked it best when we looked at the various ways that you did it in Minnetonka, when they were able to have all of the data for the whole district, because then they could at most effectively help somebody who was in the wrong place. And so, to me, prescribing in law that these precincts would only have the data for just their own seems to be contrary to what works. What's your view on that?
Senator Bonhoff, I had a concern with this, too, and it's kind of different than your concern. I agree that for our election judges to have all the data for the city would be useful, and I understand the concern of, I think there are two concerns. I think one concern is the privacy aspect, where we don't want election judges to be able to look up data on too many people. And so restricting it to the precinct would just address some of that data privacy concern. I think the other concern is that somehow somebody registered in a different precinct could vote in the wrong precinct. Mm-hmm. I think for the first concern, I'm not sure. That concern's out there. The second concern, I think the everything I've seen with the technology, we can have the vendors program it so it does not allow any possibility of that happening. And I think by restricting it to the one precinct, we lose functionality where some of the vendors for Election Day registration, if a Minnetonka voter in one precinct is moved and trying to Election Day register in another precinct, some of the vendor software allows the previous information to be pulled over, so not as much information is being manually or entered. And I think we lose functionality by making those restrictions. So I would agree with your concern. I don't like that provision.
Mr. Chair, I would rather we just didn't have it in the legislation, and those things could be worked out, but to not be so narrow within the actual legislation.
Comment? Max?
Go ahead, Glenn. Mr. Chair, this doesn't address Mr. Maeda's concern about bringing over data, but with regard to Senator Bonhoff's concern about helping to redirect a voter, I think the precinct finder functionality, which is just based on street number ranges, would not be excluded by this, since this only refers to the exclusion of
It would be everywhere. So everyone would have that.
Yeah.
So, in other words, that functionality is always there.
But, Mr. Chair, wouldn't you then need a separate – I mean, this is a closed system, and so you'd need to have a parallel computer because it's not directly connected to the Internet. It's a closed system, and so you'd be placing that burden on the judges where they then would have to have a separate – person going to. I think the concern around privacy is a little bit of a red herring because, you know, whether or not they just see the people in their precinct or they see the people in the precinct next to that, I don't know what kind of things we're really worried about. I think for the ease of making this all work, that it would be helpful for them to have their whole.
Yep.
When I think of the work that we do in the precincts on Election Day, there are people that are ahead of the poll books, asking people if they are in the right precinct, and then redirecting them. And I think that's really effective and efficient rather than having them go up to the poll book and get in line in front of people that are intended to vote there. So I think that the idea of having this as an option could mean that there are a lot of voters that aren't supposed to be voting. They're in line waiting to find out where they're supposed to vote. So I think that the process of redirecting them in advance of the poll book should continue.
Mr. Chair, and to address some of Senator Bonhoff's, I think as far as a closed system, my understanding is the e-poll books could have the precinct finder for the entire city. They don't have just the precinct finder for just that precinct, so I don't think it is a matter of having to send somebody off to try and search the Internet. I think they can have that precinct finder within the entire poll book, and so I personally agree with Mr. Halperin's piece of saying that I think the people can be directed based on the polling place finder and not having that individual data. And having talked with many individuals in the past who are registered voters who have wanted their public information restricted, and they don't have their name on public information lists. The only place their name is located is within the roster, be they public officials, be they judges, be they police officers. I'm very concerned about having their information more than just within the precinct where they actually reside. And currently, with the paper roster, that is the only precinct where that information ever is displayed. And so I, my personal opinion, and I'll be voting against anything to allow voters to be in precincts other than their own. I have a sincere not wanting to see their private data more than is necessary.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, respect that. So would it work to include a statement that would say that the poll finder data could be in the e-poll book for the whole, so that we make sure that intent is captured?
Yes,
I mean, I
because that is what I'm worried
and
about.
And all the poll books that I've seen have had that. So just finding the right place to, in the description of the poll book, capabilities or capacities. And I think,
that'd be
you
great.
Know, they're, they do this. Beth, you want to add that to your list of places to look to put something in?
Thank you.
Great. Other points suggested? Yes, David.
On page 2, line 22. Actually, it starts on line 22. The provision about not allowing a network outside of the precinct. I made this argument last time. I'm going to try to make it again. After talking to several of my colleagues, our current absentee, the way we mark late absentees, the ones that come in Monday night or on election day, we have to go produce a report and then give that report to our precinct judges in the precinct, and then they hand mark the roster indicating that the voters voted absentee. Just about every poll book I've looked at allows this to be done electronically over the internet. And I understand the security concerns, but I would propose a compromise being the poll books can't be connected outside, networked outside the, or connected to the internet at any time during the day other than allowing for the updating of absentee information. And that's similar, that's consistent with the way we do the election results. In Hennepin County, we have wireless modems that are not connected until we're ready to transmit the results. So we have a network after the result, when the results are ready to be transmitted. So we do allow a connection at some point during the day, and I would strongly urge that we allow this for the absentee voting process.
Mr. Chair, I could use some clarification on that. Is that a time-based restriction that instead of being the whole election day, it would be during polling place hours? Would the absentee ballot stuff be able to be taken care of before the polling place opened? Is that the...
It's not a time-based. It would be an activity-based, because when we get the last delivery of mail with absentee ballots on election day, that's when we have to get that information out to the precincts. So it'd actually be during election, the afternoon on election day.
From a reliability and security standpoint, which is, you know, why we have that restriction there, it's not 100% clear that the intended purpose of the internet connection is really so relevant as whether the connection exists at all. I mean, certainly for reliability, the fact that it wouldn't be used much would be helpful. For security, I mean, you're either connected or you're not. I mean, it's if they were connected during operation, I would maybe want to impose more rigid certification requirements and so forth. I mean, we're kind of using that air gap as our real security defense.
What about bringing sticks around?
Flash drive.
Thumb drives, yeah. with the changes.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if to accommodate what Mr. Mann is talking about, is there a way that you could have I mean, when you go online, there is a record. There is a history showing of when you go on, and you could verify that. Is there some way to put some comfort language around what David's saying so that the precinct head judge or whatever you call it is there to verify use and just put more language around making sure that that is the purpose? Because, again, I would hate to limit our ability to integrate technology in the way that we're really intending to have this work.
Mr. Chair, I do also concur, and I do believe that there should be protocols in place where you can have a dedicated line with specific IP addresses where it's only a flow of information from the city clerk's office to the particular poll books. I mean, I do believe that there's protocols that can be developed on a, that can alleviate some of those fears. It is critical from an efficiency standpoint to our voters to be able to get that updated as soon as possible. And I suggest that the language be phrased that that capability is permissive pending secure protocols are in place.
So that's Ms. Wachler's suggestion is pretty much what I was working on as she was starting to say it. The idea, as I understand it, would be to amend page 2, line 22, that item 11, to say something like, be only networked within the polling location on election day unless the Secretary of State has certified that equivalent level of network security is provided. Or something like that. Something to say that the that if there is a connection, you have to have some provisions in place that are deemed equivalent to not being connected. You can't just do it without a certification process.
Can you read it one more time?
So on the end, unless the Secretary of State has certified that equivalent network security is provided.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Yeah. Halperin, just to kind of comment on that, I mean, I think number 12 would cover that. If you're putting an exception into section under number 11, wouldn't that then also have to meet number 12, that the Secretary of State in consultation would minute would have to establish security standards? So if on the line 11 it said except, you know, by the election official for updating absentees, then I guess would that need to meet these minimum standards? I'm concerned about the Secretary of State's office determining these security standards, which I'm not sure how I would do that. So,
right, but at the end of the day, it means consulting with, you know, a range of people. You know,
right.
I mean, I'm trying to keep this into addressing David's issue and right. Max's issue kind of simultaneous.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I don't agree with Mr. Maeda's interest in having added kind of functionality to this technology that we're piloting. I don't know how tied it is to the actual pilot myself. And if whether or not it would be specific to a carrier or a vendor in whatever system you end up using. So I don't know. It seems to me that if we don't have that restriction in place, we can expand that number 12 to say that, you know, all activity of the system or whatever must meet the minimum security standards. Would allow a little more wiggle room, but not necessarily tie networking into the pilot, which...
So
I'm not
you're
sure that makes sense.
Having 12 be the Trump statement in
right.
regards to these various matters.
Right.
Am I yep. hearing you right?
Yes.
Comments?
Question on that?
Yep.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, so really then wouldn't it work to delete number 11 because then you, the Secretary of State and the, in consultation with Minute, would determine?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonnet, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So
we delete that and that not specifically be part of the pilot, any functionality that's put in
right.
place runs to security.
I guess that if that were to be something that was implemented in the future, I'd like to have some sort of audit afterwards to confirm the data that to one system actually was what was sent, or somehow something after the election to confirm that data has been accurately uploaded into the poll book.
Max, go ahead.
Sorry. The deletion of 11 and relying on 12 has the shortcoming that 12 only addresses security, and lack of networking is something addresses reliability as well, that if we allow networking, a vendor could propose and a county could adopt a system where all the precincts process every single transaction online to a central server like Denver so fatally tried doing in their experiment. And we would have the whole question of is it adequately load tested under realistic load levels and all that kind of stuff, where we just avoid that currently with the 11. And so I'm a little leery of deleting 11.
Chair, I would kind of agree with the same thing. I think kind of going back to Mr. Maeda's first point of including something on there saying be only networked within the polling place on election day for the purposes of updating absentee voters, and limiting that piece and saying that it still is the only limit as to when you could use a network, I'd be more comfortable with and leaving that in there and not expanding it to being networked for any other purposes.
I believe that we need to say something about this because there are many, many people, they call me or they stop me on the street, who are very nervous about elections, electronics, all of this. And so we have a conspiracy theory, and then we have actual experience, and we have the real world. And so every day there's a greater nervousness. And so I think in our suggestions we have to take into account how people are feeling about these things in general. Mm-hmm. So having language that allows for the use of it meeting minimum security standards for a specific purpose then allows for an answer to the question, is this electronic voting or all of that? You say, no, this is a very specific thing, and here's what its purpose is.
Mr. Chair, yeah. Somebody brought forward a suggestion on that point, which was perhaps adding a comma after security and then say meet, so you'd say meet minimum security, reliability, and networking standards, so that you'd give the authority, you'd give the IT and Secretary of State's office broader scope, and you'd make it clear that it is up to them to determine.
I would second that motion.
So the motion is in item 12, meet minimum security, reliability, and networking standard established by the Office of Secretary of State in conjunction with Minute.
Mm-hmm. And then you would delete 11.
Wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's...
No.
That is a separate motion.
That's a separate motion. Okay. This is a specific motion on 12.
Okay.
All in favor... Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Now there's a motion to delete 11. Second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. I myself will be voting against it because I want people to hear out loud from us that we're concerned about this issue. And if we take it out, I believe that people say, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You know, we're getting into the Internet and on and on and on and on. And so I myself would like to see an amendment on 11 that speaks to the specific that we would use. That's a different motion, but... I think we have to say something about this out loud, given the current climate.
And I would agree with what you just said, that to add on to 11 instead of delete it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my preference as well. Even though we're adding, there might be network standards in number 12, I don't know if that, once we've set up the standard, it doesn't mean we can limit, it doesn't say we can limit that network to only being used in certain cases. We've just set up the standard saying this is what the network connection should be. So I still would like to see 11 kept with the provision that it can only be used for certain
functions. Mr. Chair, since I recommended that, I'm fine with sort of reinstating that and altering. I still think that I agree with you that we have to really limit any networking provision at all. And I'm just a little concerned about the functionality of maybe a particular system being a very handy shortcut for people who are looking for that sort of thing, whether or not we want to write that in as part of the pilot is my question, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I still think that by putting it in to number 12, we give the authority to those who will write the standards and the ability to do that. And so I still would stand comfortable with the commissioner's first suggestion, and looks like won't prevail, and so then I'll be anxious to hear what the addition is, but still I'm very comfortable deleting it.
Proposed to delete 11. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion fails. Is there a substitute motion that somebody would like to put forward to meet this suggestion of amending 11? Something short and sweet.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'll take a stab. I would amend after the word day on line 2.22, amend it to add language saying for the purposes of updating absentee records.
For the purpose of updating absentee records. For the purpose of updating absentee records. Second.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Poser, I think that this limits, it may only be networked within, and so you would want to say except for.
Oh, except for, yes, yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Thank you. I will accept that as a friendly amendment.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
I have a question about this. When we talk about the minimum reliability networking standards, are these all set up for the machines and not for the polling places? Is that something that we should be concerned with, that if we have the, like, my polling place, we are able to go and send data, but sometimes I've had to walk outside so that the data could actually be sent to the city. And so even though we have been able to do it, I don't know if we want to have that sort of, if there would be some sort of testing or something like that in polling places to make sure that you don't have to take the electronic poll book out to get the data in.
Mr. Chair, number one, I would think the law would prohibit the poll book from being removed from the polling place. Uh-huh. And I think my second part would be, I think nothing here is requiring this to be the only way that it would be updating up the absentee record. So I think if through their testing they knew that that particular polling place couldn't be updated, they would have to update it in a different manner. Yeah.
Since you mentioned that, what about curbside voting? I'm wondering how would that be implemented.
All right. I guess... maybe. So, and I don't know that that actually came up during the pilot here, but I think it's part of the same thing that even in the precincts I was ever involved in, we did not take the full roster out there. There's the Certificate of Registered Voter, which was a form that would be brought out that the voter could sign, and then, you know, the poll could be updated within the polling place.
Great question. Other points? So we're returning to one of our two hanging out there suggested languages, Ms. Frazier.
Mr. Chair and members, so we're looking at striking the language on 3.6 and 3.7, the last sentence of subdivision 6, and replacing it with language that's very similar but slightly different than the language in 204C20, which would say the election judges shall determine the number of ballots to be counted by counting the number of signed voter certificates for the number of voter receipts. So in both cases, counting is required.
Counting and paper.
The election judges shall determine the number of ballots to be counted by counting the number of signed voter certificates for the number of voter receipts.
Second. Is there a motion for that?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, then conversation, discussion, debate.
Could we add hand counting? Just to make sure that it's really implied that it's, well, I guess the voter receipt would be paper. So yeah.
Correct.
Forget.
Ask the one who raised the concern. I'm comfortable with that.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We have one other, the poll finder specificity.
Mr. Chair, I think there are actually a few different ways that could be worded. I came up with one that I think is probably the longest way possible to word that, and I don't know whether it seems like the concept is pretty clear, and that I don't know if we just want to allow counsel to come up with the language that she thinks is best. I can read what I wrote, but
pleasure.
And Mr. Chair, speaking of council, before council leaves, because I'd like to introduce, for anyone who doesn't know, Lexi Stengel, who's here. We had asked Lexi to go off and do magic with the document, and so referring to asking them to do something, what Lexi has said is that in order to accommodate the change that we had talked about, it would take them till tomorrow morning, because you have to go back and reference every place where it would relate to that in order to codify it. And so what I would ask is if the committee would be willing to circulate a draft tomorrow morning so that we could give them the time to do that work. And
we could do these both in the same procedure.
Yeah.
How about that for more work? Are people comfortable with that? We have these two things. One is the poll finder, and the second is the referencing on the 2014. We agree. This means tomorrow, watching
our emails.
Well, if you're caught in the blizzard, you know, pull over someplace, find yourself a signal.
And I don't want to put undue pressure on council if they're comfortable with tomorrow. She nodding.
Thank
yes,
you very
she
much.
Is. Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, would it be helpful maybe just to state out loud what the poll finder thing is while council's in the room?
Ms. Frazier, you want to read us that long thing?
Mr. Chair, the concept is that the electronic poll books would contain information from the poll finder for more than just that precinct. And I think it was discussed for at least having data for the entire municipality. I mean, it in terms of the poll finder, it could be broader than that as well.
Mm-hmm. Just digits and space.
So it seems like there's a few different places that could be added. It could be added to paragraph 7, which is where it talks about voters who appear to reside in a different precinct. It could also appear as a whole separate number. But if it were to be added to number 7, it could say if the voter resides in a different precinct in the same municipality, the electronic roster must provide the voter with their correct polling location. That's one way to do that.
Or perhaps a simple way is to say that all judges must have access to the poll finder. I mean, it is public information, so it's not like we have to limit it in any way. Must have access to the poll finder within their e-poll book.
Right. The poll finder itself sits someplace out and kind of in a server, but it would be the information from the poll finder for the municipality. Okay, so these two things will go to council for coming back to us as early tomorrow as possible, and if folks can respond, please. We'll contact also our Blizzard and other friends and make sure that they're kind of friendly. So that's a good outcome. Other things? You know, as we scared Lindsay away, I think she thinks maybe we won't add more. That's okay. So there's two things. One is we've made some specific changes that needs to go into this process, and we have two that we're relying on council to make a suggestion that we'll need to look at.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I was just looking at the appropriation language in the last section of the bill, and the last sentence of it talks about providing funds for the purpose of offsetting the costs of the study incurred by the jurisdictions identified in Section 1, Subdivision 2. And Section 1, Subdivision 2 names the cities but not the counties. And I guess I'm wondering whether I know in some cases it was the counties that may have incurred the costs, and maybe they would just charge the city, so maybe that's not a problem. But I just wanted to raise that as a question. And I see there's not a county representative in the room, so.
Do you want to make a suggestion that we would, in addition to this list of towns and townships, list counties?
Ms. Chair, just add after incurred by the jurisdictions or incurred by the jurisdictions or their county identified in.
Mm-hmm. By the jurisdictions or their counties. That in motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye. Oh, sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I think the or their counties grammatically would be better after the subdivision 2 at the end of the sentence rather than after jurisdictions. Right?
Strunk and White. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. We've made some specific changes. We have two that will need additional review, and we will vote by email tomorrow. We also have on our agenda today the adoption of the minutes from the prior meeting, which we move to the end of the agenda. Any changes? Motion to approve?
I move.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you very much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Any last words for the good of the commons?
Yes, your chair. I just wanted to mention, I've been invited to Laramie County, Wyoming. They are conducting a mock election in February. They're using one of the vendors that dropped out of our pilot project. It was Votech, and I'm actually going to attend. My interest is really, Wyoming is an election day registration state, so I really want to see how they address that issue. But I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is if any task force member, after we are split up, wants information on how that went, they can feel free to call me.
I would request that if you have to, you know, write up something that then we'll circulate to everybody just in general. And this is Laramie County, Wyoming.
Correct. Diane is the county seat.
Great, great. Other things?
Mr. Chair, I have been informed that we are not legally allowed to vote by email.
Okay.
And so the group will either need to meet again or have a phone call, perhaps.
How about a phone call?
Yeah.
Phone call. I love phone calls.
Expert, but one person would have to be in the room, so it's a meeting, and I think the others can call in and vote on a conference line.
Great.
Okay.
But I have to verify with.
Can you help us just make sure we're doing everything legal, but this is tomorrow?
Yep.
Should we set a time?
It'd be at least a tentative time frame.
Mid-afternoon? Of course, Lexi's not in the room.
I'll be in another meeting at 2:30.
How would you like to spend your 2 to 2:30 time period?
I would be delighted.
On a phone call. How about others?
That would work
Should
for me.
2
to 2:30 would work.
That works.
Oh, yeah, we have the emergency meeting at 3. So 2 to 2:30 would... Sometime in that time frame. Before 2:30.
And how do we know when sometime in that time frame?
You're going to get an email.
Okay.
And if something's up, you'll let us know.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
And thank you.
Thank for this process and getting this information going and now bringing this subject out to the broader public. So, but we have one more word on this tomorrow at around 2 o'clock by phone. Adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.